Let's please turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Now, Peter last week was emphasizing that he knew he was going to be killed soon, and he wanted to make sure that he did his last message. He wanted to record his final warning to the church, to the saints, both in his day and in our day, because we're reading his epistle, which he, I'm writing this down so that you can always remember what I'm saying. And he's warning about false teachers leading people astray. And usually when we talk about false teachers, even when I talk about false teachers, it's usually in the context of within the church. But our entire day, every day we wake up and till the time we go to bed and go to sleep, there's, especially in our culture, we're being taught all day long by what comes in. Everything that we see, the way conversations go between husbands and wives and parents and children. Children were trying to teach us when they're in home, how we can do things their way, and we try and teach them that God said that they're supposed to do things our way, because it's actually we're supposed to be teaching them God's way. But I mean, everything that's in interaction, we are learning our entire life. And the issue is whether we're learning from good teachers or whether we're learning from false teachers. And this we have to be on guard for. In that study today, everything that we're going to be saying, I'll say we're almost being nonstop inundated by false teachers in every form of media in America today. You can watch almost any show on TV, and if you were to just put on your biblical mind, for those of you that know what the Bible says, you would hardly miss a minute where you're saying, that's false, that's false, that's false, that's a lie, that's an abomination to God. You would be hearing that if you're thinking biblically. But a lot of times we get deceived into just sitting down and going, turn my biblical mind off and just let the world fill in. I won't be taught. It won't really affect me. Oh, yeah. I think it does. I think it affects us. We have to be extremely careful, as we're going to find out in our study today, because we see the effects of it all around us. I mean, we see the false teaching of immorality and destruction that happened in times past, the days of Genesis and before the flood and Sodom and Gomorrah and everything else, and we see it happening today. When Juanita and I went over to Bernal Stutzman Supreme Court thing, we spent the night over in Bellevue and did a little shopping, waiting for the next morning when we went, and I was astounded by the concentration of, I felt like a few more years or whatever, it's going to be like Sodom and Gomorrah. I was just thinking, is there any real guy that works in the Bellevue Mall? I mean, is there anybody that's really a guy that's a guy? I was just like, man, what is happening? 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Now, that's specifically talking about people saying, I'm a Christian and I think homosexuality is okay. I'm a Christian and I think living in adultery is okay. I think that whatever doctrines of the Bible that are contrary to, I'm a Christian, I don't really think Jesus was born of a virgin, or I don't think that he really rose from the grave, right? On and on and on. Those are the ones that are within the church that people will then actually blaspheme Christianity because they're saying they're Christians and they're completely contrary to the Word of God and they're living immorally, and they go, just forget those guys. In fact, I meant to mention this last week. I can remember the day that Larry Flint, he was the publisher of Hustler magazine back in the 70s. And all the guys on my submarine knew I was a believer. And I came down one morning. It was just like the whole crew's mess. You pop down onto the deck from the weapon shipping hatch and walk a few feet, you're in the crew's mess. Hey, Kevin! Did you hear the news? And, you know, I knew something was up. Hey, Larry Flynn got born again. Now he's going to do porn for Jesus, you know. So, see, they knew, even though they're all into porn, even though they're all into that, they knew there's a disconnect between calling yourself a Christian and being involved in Hustler Magazine. And it wasn't like he got born again and said, and I want to apologize to everybody and every woman that I've ever contributed to the demise of the beautifulness of women to be treated by men properly and how I corrupted the world with my magazine. I'm going to shut it all down. I'm going to give money to helping women in battered shelters. And no, he didn't do that. He was going to do porn for Jesus, which he went on to keep doing. And this is when the whole born again thing was a big deal, because Jimmy Carter and born again, some of you guys don't know those days. But many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of the truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle and their destruction does not slumber. But as we mentioned last week, it goes a long time. Their destruction, their false teaching infiltrating the minds and hearts of the people and leading them astray goes for a long time, because the way the destruction comes is the wrath of God. And God is merciful and long-suffering. He waits a long time. He sends the prophets. He sends people to warn, stop it, stop it, stop it. And then, but finally, bam, it happens. So, reading 4 through 10, which is what our study is going to be covering in detail today. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. And this is the emphasis and the title of our study. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Now that's an amazing thing. You know, he's emphasizing, we're going to see, how did God rescue his people out? And he didn't have to have a big boat to do it. I mean, for him, for the people. In other words, when it comes time to judgment, there's not many people. Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot. Flood of Noah, eight people. Future judgment by fire that the Bible says the world's reserved for, God knows. How many are going to be literally taken up in the rapture when God delivers us by this promise? He knows how to deliver the godly out of the temptation that is coming. And what is the temptation? The judgment day of the 7-year tribulation period that's coming. And he knows how to deliver his people. I'm excited that he is going to deliver us out and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. So, if you knew judgment was coming, like let's say a major earthquake was coming and it was judgment of God, would you want to escape it tomorrow? If you knew that there was going to be mass devastation and destruction, I mean, you, in a way, you have to be crazy not to want to avoid judgment. And so why is it that everybody doesn't just repent? Why is it that these prophecies of what it's going to be like in the last days, it's going to be like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah? Oh, well, what was the days of Sodom and Gomorrah? Rampant sexual immorality, typified mostly by homosexuality and rape and everything else. And, oh, we're going that way. You would think that, well, the judgment of God's going to come, so let's all repent. Let's all get away. Let's stop this. There's something very deceptive about the false teachings of the devil Satan through his minions here on earth, through the media, through everything else. As soon as people embrace the idea of lusts and pleasures rather than the word of God and holiness and walking with him, there's a disconnect, a complete disconnect. And it can happen to your children. You can raise them in the word of God and everything else, and all of a sudden they can just be enticed by the lusts of the world and get taught by their peers at school, by their teachers who are telling, you know, your boys and girls, well, I know you're born as a girl, but maybe you're a boy. They're doing that in the schools. There was actually an article this week that without a parent's knowledge, a 17-year-old was helped by the school and the state to get a sex change without the parent even knowing it was going to happen. That's false teaching. Thank you, Jesus. My kids are grown up and that didn't happen. I'm saying, and yet we're not even close to as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah, but we're heading that way. And we have to make sure we're watching out what our children are hearing and seeing and being taught, because we have to instill in them these kind of things. There, yes, you might be enticed by what they say. You might get that fleshly buzz of temptation and lust. You better kill it. Because the difference is between whether you get on the boat or you swim in the waters until you drown. And that's what our children have to know. You can have temporary pleasures or you can have eternal life. What is it that most appeals to you? And let's look at these, because there might be some here who don't even know what we read about. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. And then he goes on from there. But who are these angels, and how did they sin, and where is this place that they're going? And let's turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 18 to answer that question. What we know from Scripture is that God created all things. He created angels. In the Old Testament, angels were referred to as the sons of God. So in the New Testament, sons of God means people that believe in Jesus. In the Old Testament, sons of God was that they were angels. Well, some of the angels, led by Satan himself, who was an angel, decided to rebel against God. They had free will just like we do. And they rebelled against God. And that's recorded in Isaiah 14, 12 through 17, Ezekiel 28, 11 through 19. And that rebellion occurred. And so these fallen angels that went with Satan to fall, and that's in Revelation 12, 3 through 6, it's Revelation 12, 3 through 6 seems to imply that Satan took a third of the angels with him when he fell. It's not real crystal clear, but that's what it appears. And those fallen angels are still sons of God. So when the sons of God come before God in the Old Testament, in the book of Job, chapter 1 and 2, they're on the right hand and the left hand. The right hand are the good angels that stayed on God's side, and the fallen angels are on the left hand. They became the demons. They're demons in the world today. They're the unclean spirits. They're the ones that go and possess people. And false teach through those possessed people. And so in Jesus' day, because of the immorality and sin and idolatry and everything that was rampant in the area, many of the people that were Jews had children and themselves that were possessed of demons. And Jesus sent out his disciples and said, in my name, go cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead, do this in my name. And so they did. And they would say, in the name of Jesus, demon, leave this man, this child, this woman, get out of their life. And they would be instantly healed as the demon left them. And so they come back to Jesus, Luke chapter 10, verse 18. They come back, and Jesus said to them, because they said, wow, they said, Jesus, man, in your name, we can tell demons what to do. Which is a big deal. I mean, people would be possessed of demons and never get it out of their life. And for them to just go, in Jesus' name, and they were impressed. Wow, we have power. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Now, how does Jesus see Satan fall from heaven? Because he was there. Because he was there in the beginning. Because he's God. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Boy, I wish we could just take 5 minutes and just think about that. Just let it really sink down. Rejoice in this, your name is written in the book of life. Your name is written in heaven. How many people are really happy your name, you've got reservations in heaven? Okay, there's nothing more important. You can lightsaber demons all you want to. You can raise the dead, heal the sick, do whatever you want to. It doesn't matter. Your name is written in the book of life. That's what you should be rejoicing about. So Satan was in heaven, and he was cast down, but he's still allowed to go up there. We know from the book of Job, he's still allowed to go and converse with God about us. It says in Romans, it says that he accuses us day and night before God. And if we're a child of God, then it's Jesus who sits there and goes, yep, kind of right, except not guilty by reason of my shed blood, and they trusted in me by faith on such and such a day. Isn't that nice to know that you have a lawyer that's always declaring you pardoned and not guilty? Day after day after day? You know, with all the talk of what the pardons might be before Obama leaves, all he can do is pardon for past sins, right? Jesus is greater than whatever pardon a president can do. He says past, present, and future. Isn't that awesome? And out of our love and appreciation for what that really means, we serve him. We want to change our heart. We want to start being obedient to him and walking in holiness and love for him because of what he's done for us. So, in other words, the demons are still here. Satan's still here. So, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 said, for if God did not spare the angels, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. Well, what does that mean? Because it is sinful, by the way, to join with Satan in rebelling against God and falling and becoming demons. That's sinful. But that can't be the sin that Peter is talking about. Because all the demons and Satan didn't go locked up into hell. And by the way, the Greek word behind hell here is Tartaro, which is the only place this Greek word is used in the New Testament. So it's a special term for hell, which really is holding place for the dead. If you look at the other words, which are Gehenna, which means lake of fire, translated hell. The other Greek word is Hades, which means holding place for the dead, which is translated hell. But here, hell means the deepest part of Hades. It means you're chained up, darkness, misery. And so what was the sin that they did? So if it wasn't the sin of rebelling against God and falling with Satan, what was the sin that got some of the demons to be locked up where they are today? See, according to the Bible, there are demons, fallen angels, who went there, and they're there, and they'll never come up and mess with us. They're reserved in judgment forever. So let's turn to Jude, verse 5, because there's only one chapter. There's no chapter and verse of Jude. It's 2 Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude. So it's just a few pages further along towards Revelation. Jude verse 5. Actually, if you read Jude and you read 2nd Peter, they're very similar. They're almost identical in some of the wordings on this issue, emphasizing how important it was for us to have it in our word, in the word of God. It says, verse 5, but I want to remind you, just like Peter wanted to remind him, I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. Now, and we're kind of getting off topic here, but I'm going to deal with this. There was a whole bunch of Jews that got led across the Red Sea by the Red Sea parting into the promised land by Moses, right? A whole bunch of Jews, promised people of God. Yeah, we're Jews. We follow God and everything else. But we know from the Old Testament, a lot of them had been taught by the Egyptians. They had allowed the false teaching the Egyptians. Oh, yeah, you got your Hebrew God in your pocket, but have the cow God, the golden calf God in this, and the fish God, and the whatever God, the frog God, all the other gods of the Egyptians. And a lot of the Jews said, yeah, that's what I'll do. I'll worship idols too. And so they didn't believe, even though God delivered them from the hand of slavery of the Egyptian Pharaoh, and they got to see the wall of water go on the right hand and the left hand, not by some wind, but by the miraculous hand of God parting the sea for them to go across on dry ground. And they get to the other side and they still want to worship the golden calf. And a whole bunch of them died. So the same thing applies to us too. Is there anything in your other pocket? You got, the t-shirt, got Jesus? You know, who cares about milk? Do you got Jesus? And then does the backside say, and also Buddha? Or also lust and pleasures and also whatever, rebellion against God? Hope not. Got Jesus? Only Jesus. Forever Jesus. Though none go with me, Jesus. The cross before me, the world behind me, Jesus. They didn't. So this is what Jude threw that in. Verse 6 is what we're really talking about. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Which is Jude's way of saying tataro, or what was translated hell. They're reserved in this chained up place. Because what? What did they do? What did these fallen angels do? They left their proper domain. Well, what's that? What is the domain of fallen angels? The spiritual world. So they left the spiritual world and they went into the human world. And not just possessing humans, because when they possess a human, they're still in the spiritual realm. You know, you don't normally see the demons going out when somebody is cast out. But somehow, and I don't understand how, but the Bible makes it clear, somehow demons can, if they choose to, materialize in a way that they become real, touchable, and involved in the human realm. And when they do, and they've done their dirty deed, which we're going to find out what it is, then God grabs them by the throat, says, another one into tataro. Another one done. You do that, you're done. And they hate going down there, we find out from Scripture. They love being able to mess with us. Remember when the demoniac met Jesus, you know, that had a legion of demons inside of him, and the demons are crying out of him saying, Jesus, have you come to judge us before our time? Just throw us into the swine. Don't throw us, they're really saying, don't throw us to tataro. We're just possessing this guy. We're not leaving our proper domain. We are just here. Don't throw us before our time, because our time is at the end of time where we get done messing with all the people and deceiving everybody into the lake of fire that we can. Then we know you're going to judge Satan and judge us, so you say, but maybe Satan will beat you. So will you please just don't send us to tataro? Can you imagine? The demons even shriek at what their judgment is lying ahead. And you know what? We should too. They know it better than we do, but we should learn from them that one thing. We don't want our friends and relatives to go to that place. Verse 7. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner of what? Well, the angels left their proper domain. And so what are the people of Sodom and Gomorrah doing in a similar manner, leaving the proper domain? Well, we find out. In a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And Peter's going to talk about how Sodom and Gomorrah was an example to people into the future, and we'll cover that when we get to that verse. So again, Jude and 2 Peter are very similar. This is what the Bible is saying. In the same way that demons leave their spiritual realm and somehow become material, God looks at that the same way, according to Jude, as a normal one man, one woman marriage, leaving the proper domain of that and having it be man with man, woman with woman. Same exact thing, because that's what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. In fact, I don't think it's in your notes, but turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 26. Many of you are familiar with chapter 1 of Romans. But this is what it says, and it's so important, especially in our culture today, and I'm going to cap this with a couple of examples as we go through here of what's going on. For this reason, and the reason being the rejection of God, because people know God, they know what His Word says. You know, people growing up in America, the Judeo-Christian culture, they've heard about God. When they reject God, as soon as you knowingly say, get out of my life, take your Bible, take your Ten Commandments, take your Levitical, you know, definitions of what is righteous and unrighteous sex, which, by the way, God has so blessed sex when it's the right way. And and it's been tragic at times in the past. People see, oh, sex. And no, it's wonderful. And we need to tell our children that. It can be a wonderful experience in the context of loving Jesus and being committed to each other. Virgin till you're married, heterosexual, monogamous until death you depart, you'll have a wonderful, wonderful time. And the false teachers and the devil and the demons are telling people, oh, no, no, don't do that. Don't do it God's way. You're going to miss out if you do it God's way. Well, because people reject, for this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. Oh, you want to reject my perfect, pure way? And you want to listen to the demons? Okay, he'll give you up to vile passions, for even their women exchange the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, later on talked about filthy, and it is filthy, and received in themselves the penalty of the error which was due, which is today being manifested in the diseases that shortens the lifespan, average shortening of lifespan of 20 years by some studies. So the natural thing for a demon to do is to stay a demon in the spiritual world. For them to be unnatural is to enter into the human world. For us, the natural is to be obedient to God and how He's created us sexually. The unnatural is to leave our proper domain is to enter into the homosexual lifestyle, is what the Bible teaches. Going back to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them to hell and deliver them into the chains of darkness to be reserved in judgment... I'm going to just emphasize before we go to Genesis 6:1 now, because we're now going to look at what happened in Genesis 6:1. I'm going to say in summary, the sinfulness here was not them being demons, turning into demons, fallen angels. It was by them leaving their domain to do what we're going to be reading in Genesis chapter 6, which is a very controversial, but I'll tell you, it's all over the map on the internet. What I'm about to teach you is just major. It's exploding on the scene with many different ideas about what we're about to read. And I'll share with you what is very clear and then tell you that a lot of the rest of it is just speculation. So they left their proper domain and entered into the human realm. Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. When it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, in the early days, 1,000 years after the creation, and people are populating the earth, and they're in rebellion against God. They've started murdering Cain and Abel. Murdering and raping and pillage what didn't take any time at all. And they're multiplying on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God, angels, Job chapter 1, Job chapter 2, Job chapter 38, that term, sons of God, those are the three places found in the Old Testament, always means angels. That's the term for them in the Old Testament. The sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose, the ones who ended up being in Totaro, the ones who end up being judged by God for doing what this is talking about, according to Peter and Jude. They left their proper domain, and they were thrown into the pit. Now, the translators take the Hebrew word and say, took wives. And I remember Dave Hunt teaching, there's no way that people would, that a demon would have a marriage with a guy and wives, and because they are fallen angels, and Jesus taught that, there's no giving and taking of marriage in heaven, we're going to be like the angels. But it literally doesn't mean takes wives. You determine whether it means woman or wives by the context. It's the same Hebrew word. So literally you could say, and they took women. They just took women. Not like they went through a marriage ceremony with them. They took women. And this would be that the demons somehow materialized in a way that they abducted women like you hear about in the occultic world. People testify. I mean, reputable people testify that they feel like they were abducted. I have talked to many people, many of them, all of them seem credible to me, that this one lady testified how she was going to sleep. She had been living in service to Satan. She had a child that was in a crib thing. And she saw a demon materialize in a in a not human, not in human strength, but could see the demon go lay down on her child, put his mouth and suck the life out of him. And she went over there and picked him up and said, you know, just screamed and said no and resuscitated her son. Now, was she making it up? She had no reason to. I think it's true. It's real. And so what can demons do? Demons are demons. Who knows? But I wouldn't discount the stories of people who say, man, I was in this kind of an occultic thing, and I sensed this evil that they started messing with me physically. I don't discount that. Why? Because of this. I don't discount it. Might be true, but that's what this says. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. I'm going to give Noah 120 years to build the boat, and then we're done. I see where this is going. It's going to be complete destruction of the whole planet. This false teaching is going to sweep the entire world. These demons that are going into women, creating these children, which we're going to talk about here in a second, and their influences as soulless, created beings of half woman, half demons, are going to so corrupt the world, I'm going to have to destroy it. Man's life is 120 years. They die. Some people say that this is God saying that man's lifespan will be 120 years, but in the context, it's talking about all man is about to die in 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Now, giants, that word translated giants, literally in the Hebrew is, if you have a New American Standard, it says Nephilim. And Nephilim comes from two different words in the Old Testament Hebrew. That I have in your notes there. One is Strong's number 2303, which is a feller, i.e. bully or a tyrant, but it comes also from the word 5307, Nephal, which is to fall. In other words, Nephilim literally means fallen ones, bullies. Bullies of the fallen ones. Now, again, I don't know, but people today are doing genetic engineering, and without any sex, women are being impregnated all across the world, you know, hundreds of thousands, and all you got to do is genetically pick a boy, pick a girl, do this, do that, pick the egg, whatever, fertilize it in, you know, outside. What if demons have the power to genetically modify and just invert through fertilization and just make these things come out, and we want giants because we're going to make people like Goliath. By the way, it says they were giants in the earth in those days, Noah. All those guys died at the flood. Well, how did they show up? How did they show up in the time of David when David's killing Goliath? Because the same thing, they were Nephilim then too. Well, the Bible says, and also afterward. In other words, some of these demons, they have a desire to really mess with us, and they're willing to take the hit of going to Tartaro if they get to do this. And they did it in Noah's day. They did it afterwards. We know they populated the promised land. Why? Because God had said, I'm going to bring the Jews into the promised land. So if you're Satan and you think you can stop God, what would you do? I'm going to make a bunch of Nephilim. I'm going to stick them all in the promised land, and they're not going to get in here. And isn't that what the Jews said? Oh, we can't go in. There's giants in the place. Only by faith, they were able to destroy the giants. And if you read the account of the Jews actually entering into the promised land under Joshua and following, you'll see that they had to deal with these guys. So what is known from the scripture is that spirit beings somehow took women, don't know how exactly, somehow had children born to them, and those children that were born to those women grew up to be giants, and the people called them Nephilim, fallen bullies. And So there were giants in the earth in those days. Also afterwards, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, in my short lifetime, I've watched the society go from most of the time wanting to do what's right. Even if they weren't believers in Jesus, they were raised in a Judeo-Christian education. they were correctly taught at school. They were correctly taught to have fear of God, whether they believed in Jesus or not. And now, what the thought and intent of people's hearts are, it's rapidly going to wickedness all over. And see, this is the beauty of the Bible. It tells us that the natural progression of man is towards evil until judgment comes. And then when judgment comes, then there's a revival. And then that revival goes for a while until people are blessed because they're serving God. And then they go after the lust and pleasures of the world. And then they decay into self-destruction and ultimate judgment by God. Then there's another revival. Well, see, I think we're on the final decay. We're on the global final decay. And what the Bible makes clear is the final global decay ends up in the judgment of what is referred to as the tribulation period with a capital T, because there's tribulation in the world today, little t. The capital T tribulation is coming to this world. And here's my warning to you, me, to all of us. If we're in those days, it's going to accelerate. It's going to accelerate to the point where you will be the problem. Just like we're going to find out Lot was the problem in Sodom and Gomorrah. And you're going to have to decide whether you're going to stand for the truth of the Word of God, no matter what the consequences. Because it is a matter of whether we get on the boat in Noah's day, or whether we flee out of Sodom and Gomorrah in Lot's day, or whether we stay in town like Lot's wife and says, wow, you know, I want to turn back. I'm going to miss the party tonight. And gets turned to a pillar of salt. Every single one of us is making that, you know, as a believer in Jesus. If you're a real believer in Jesus, you can't turn away. But a lot of people are being, because of all the false teaching, I know believers, I know a pastor who said, you know, it might be okay if you get invited to a homosexual wedding to go ahead and, you know, the Spirit might lead you to go do that. The Spirit might lead me to do something contrary to the Word of God. I think Corinthians says, come out and be separate. What fellowship has Christ with Belial? What fellowship has light with darkness? You know, come out and be separate. How can I, if I'm going to something that is an abomination to God, how I am by being there, embracing or encouraging it as being an option that's good in the eyes of God. So, we have to be careful what teaching comes into our mind. Verse 6, and the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth. He was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things, birds of the air. For I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Now, I heard someone teach that perfect in his generations is kind of a strange statement in the Old Testament. In fact, it's not elsewhere repeated. And that what God was saying is there was no Nephilim blood in Noah's line. Over the years of the Nephilim being there, and somehow the Nephilim were able to have children. So all of a sudden, the whole gene pool of human race is being destroyed. Some people question whether or not a Nephilim actually has a soul inside of it to restrain demonic activity at all. A demon-possessed person gets possessed and not possessed because the demons have a hard time being in complete control of that person all the time. But it's speculated that for a Nephilim, no problem. They own them because it's their own vessel, which is why the demons are willing to do their dirty work. But if that's true, then Noah was one of the few, maybe the only, that was perfect in his generations, unaffected by this destruction that had happened to the human gene pool. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And I should go back to say at the end of verse 9, Noah walked with God. Now here's my challenge to you. Put your name in there. Are you gonna walk with God till the end, till he takes you home? The scripture should be able to record that the angels should be able to record. Kevin walked with God. Sue walked with God. Joe walked with God. Isn't that our goal? Not walk with the world and its false teachings, but to walk with God. We don't want to corrupt our flesh. Going back to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 again. For God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood of the world on the ungodly. Wow. I mean, we don't know how many people were there. If the world was filled with violence, they probably hit a peak on population, and then as they're slaughtering and murdering and raping each other on a daily basis, maybe it went way down. People say, how big was the population in the flood? If you look at how long people were living before the flood, oh, it could have been billions of people, but not if they're killing and slaughtering each other, which is what it sounds like they were doing. God looked down and go, they're going to completely annihilate everybody, including my only eight people that I have protected, the only eight that are willing to be in the boat. And what Noah was doing, it says here, according to Peter, is he was preaching righteousness. To who? Well, I would imagine, wasn't there, don't know, but I would imagine the people from the town close by. Hey, Noah, what you doing? Building a boat. Why? Because God's going to bring his judgment on this place. With how? With global rainfall for 40 days, 40 nights, if he knew that. Rain? What? See, it didn't rain before the flood. Can you imagine building a boat before the flood? According to the Bible, the earth was watered by a mist that came up, and there wasn't rain at the time because things were totally different before the flood. Oh, yeah, just mocking Noah. And he goes, excuse me, I'm going to keep nailing. The 120 years is coming, so I'm just warning you, you want to be on the boat. No, not a chance. No way. We're the same way. The world is mocking us. Jesus has taken me home. I'm going to go be with him. He died on the cross for my sins. Would you like to get on the boat, Jesus, with me? No way. Your Jesus doesn't give me as much fun as the devil Satan. Your Jesus doesn't give me lusts and pleasures that don't satisfy, ruin my life, fill me with diseases, make me emotionally distraught, causes me to commit suicide or want to commit suicide. But I don't want your Jesus that can give me everlasting life, give me a sound mind, keep me from destroying my life. Isn't it crazy how the people are? They want to go after this stuff and they don't realize that Jesus is what gives us life. And the devil only offers, you know, get high, get your high, get your Dewey, get your jail time, get your bank account emptied out, get on the street, do all this other stuff. And people want to go that way instead of serving Jesus. Oh, man. No one listened except for Noah's family, his three sons, their wives, and his wife. Would you have? I would say, well, we're no different than the people back then. And here's the warning. False teaching is powerful. False teaching is seductive. The world and its lusts are powerful to deceive. And the only way is to put, you know, people talk tinfoil hats. Here's my tinfoil hat. Put the Bible on top of your head. Let it be inside of your brain so that when the false teaching comes, that it's filtered through the Bible. The Bible says, no, that's false. Don't go there. God's people, Noah's family, were spared. Then divine judgment came. Verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. Now, we don't have time to go to Genesis 18 and 19. It's two chapters dedicated to this whole narrative of 2 Peter. And let me just say that Lot was a nephew of Abraham. Abraham, the father of the faith. Abraham had a nephew. And they were being blessed by God so much that their herds were just too plentiful of their herds to be able to cohabitate together, to share the land. So Abraham said, what should we do? I mean, here's the valley down below us, Sodom and Gomorrah, and up here on the hill in Judea. And Lot says, whoa, I want down there, because it was fertile. It was rich. You'd be able to make lots of money down there. And so Abraham goes, go ahead. But see, down there was Sodom and Gomorrah, big cities. And we know, see, people mocked the Bible for years because it said there's nothing in history about Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible made it up. But then they found, the archaeologists found the city of Ebla. And they uncovered a massive cuneiform tablets of information. And these people from Ebla traded in the big cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And yeah, they were really cities. They really are gone today, as the Bible says. But Lot went down there. And what do you notice about the big cities today? Are they places of spiritual virtue and fear of God? Actually, if you look at a map of who votes for conservative kind of Christian-based ideas compared to let's kill the babies in the womb, let's make drugs free, let's do all this other stuff and everything, it's the big cities that vote for evil. It's the same today as it was back then, because Satan can bring the indoctrination into a huge city and you're not working, and you can get the education and the money and the wealth and the pleasure of the big cities supersedes the teachings of the Word of God. We see it today. Same thing. So Jesus came and visited Abraham, and it was Jesus before the manger, along with a couple of angels, and said, you know, where your nephew Lot is down there in Sodom and Gomorrah, it is so horrible. I had to flood the whole world to deal with the time of Noah, but I'm going to now just destroy those cities, because they're like the days of Noah, full of sexual immorality, homosexuality, rape, all this other stuff is happening in the city completely. And Abraham says, God, you can't do that. What if there's 50 righteous? You know, he keeps going down 50, you know, 20, 10. And what if there's 10 righteous? And this is what we learn about the mercy of God. If there were 10, I wouldn't do it. Then the angels go down to get the one person that they do know they need to get out of there. Lot, the nephew, who's living in this filth, living in this sexual immorality, as we soon will be. As some of the people here in this room who have walking off of the light rail in Seattle to walk over to the ferry to get over to Kitsap County and seeing open, blatant acts in front of them in the broad daylight. Perverted acts in broad daylight. So what happened is the angels go there and they say, Lot, you got to get out of here. But actually, as soon as they show up in town, the men of the city, it's a couple of newbies in town. Good looking angels. You know, this is how perverted. Hey, Lot, send them out here. We're going to know them carnally is the way it's worded in the Bible. What that means is they're going to homosexually rape them. And Lot go, oh, no, you can't do that. These are my guests. You can't do that. Here's my virgin daughters. And which is sick in itself, isn't it? It just shows you the false teaching, even in righteous Lot, how his mind was going there, where I think the biblical role model would have been, not unless over my dead body, I'm going to defend everybody in my house until you kill me. That's, to me, the way it should be. But he was a wimp, was going to offer his daughters. And they said, no, we want you. And so the angels stuck their hand out, blinded all of them so they didn't even know what was going on. And then they said, Lot, you got to get out of here. He went to his relatives and he said, judgment's coming. You have to get out of here. And they laughed him to scorn because, what? You're talking about judgment coming? Who cares? There's a party tonight. And then he grabs his wife and his two daughters and they head out of town. And the angel said, do not look back. Don't look back. And the wife turns around and again, I kind of like the world. And as soon as you say, you know what? The cross before me on Sunday, the world in front of me Monday through Saturday. Then you're like Lot's wife. The cross before me, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The world behind me, I'm going to be with Jesus. I don't care, though none go with me, still I will follow. On and on, as the song says. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. As soon as Lot and his daughters got out of there, the place was burned and destroyed to this day. Condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. Now, obviously, not much of an example, right? You'd think nobody would ever go down that road again, right? Well, it's not making an example that they repent because there's perverted cities around today. And they don't repent because God gives us the free will. But it's an example. It's still an example. You're going to be judged. That's what's the reality. The example is, it is going to happen as soon as it gets down to not 50, not 20, not 10. There's nobody left. And what I think this is promising to us is that there's always going to be Christians. There's always going to be people all over the world filled with the Spirit of God that are not going to go down this path. And Jesus does promise that someday in a twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. In just a moment of a twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed and translated up into heaven. And then Abraham's going to go, he's going to say, how many? Oh, I got my whole church here. And then, actually, they're gone. Now judgment comes. And that's why we should be warning people while we still can. You know, people are not, it's obvious they are not taking a message from God's word on this. In fact, I just found out at the men's breakfast yesterday that in high school, in our area, what's extremely popular right now is for all the guys to go with eyeliner on. And so, if you, remembering when you were a teenager, the girls aren't going to like me unless I put on my metrosexual touch with my feminine side look. And that's what's sweeping through the schools. And so now you send your kids off to school, your boys off into school, and they come home, Mommy, girls won't talk to me. I don't have eyeliner on. Tough. let's go to Genesis chapter 18 and 19 and man up. And, you want to be on the boat that goes to heaven. You don't want to be on the boat that goes to hell. Right? I mean, it's a simple message. Hopefully they'll take it. And delivered righteous Lot, who was opposed to the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Again, what would you have done if you had been there? What would you have done if Lot just made a general proclamation? Where are you going, Lot? I'm headed out of town. Why? Those angels said judgment's coming. What? I want to follow you. See, this is what God is saying right now to his church through his word. We're in the last days. Let's go with Lot. Your soul should be vexed daily with what you see coming to this world. You should be that way too. And it says that he sat with them in the gate. If you go and look at Genesis, he sat with them in the gate and he'd be vexed. That means he was actually part of the government. He was actually part of the elite there in the city. But he was saying, man, I'm here, but I'm not here. I'm vexed. And see, he took his two daughters. Let's turn to, we're going to summarize here. I think I have Genesis 7, 15, Genesis 19, 22, and Luke 21. We're going to close with this. But see, his two daughters, it says delivered righteous Lot. It doesn't say delivered righteous Lot and his two daughters. But his two daughters got out of the fire of Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? Because he kind of did drag them along with mom, wife. Wife lost it when she looked back. But the daughters, they're so corrupted by the culture that they think when they see Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed, they think the whole earth has been destroyed again like Noah. And they go, we're it. It's just dad and us. How can man survive unless we get him drunk and we have sexual relations with him and bring children into the world? So would you think they got affected by the false teaching? They watched too much TV. They were downloading too many R-rated films and X-rated films. They were too much into porn. It corrupts our mind. The teaching of the world corrupts our mind. And they gave us, bless them, the Moabites and the Ammonites. And you can read the whole Bible about what a blessing that was. It was destruction for centuries and centuries after that. Because they should have just said, you know what? We're just serving God. We got out of judgment. If we die, we die. We go to be with God. That's all that should have mattered. You know, I'm going to read verse 9 again of 2 Peter chapter. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Genesis 7. And they went to the ark to Noah, two by two, all flesh, everything, his family. And then you know what it says? And God commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. God delivered Noah. Get in, build the boat, 120 years of obedience, 120 years of preaching. Build the boat, get in the boat, get in the boat. God shuts the door, you're in, you're saved. We need to live our whole life in obedience to Jesus and walking with him, and he's going to put us into heaven and shut the door, either by death or by rapture. Genesis 19:22, he told Lot, hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there. That's interesting. I cannot judge this city with divine judgment until you get out of town. I like that idea. And Luke chapter 21, verse 34, but take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, the cares of this life, the lusts and pleasures of this life, I'll add in with not adding to scripture because it's everywhere else, and that day come on you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass. And Jesus had just got done telling him about the details of the tribulation period. You know what? I want to be worthy to escape. I'm a wimp. I don't want to go through the tribulation. I don't want to see it. I want to be worthy to escape. And God tells me how. Watch. Don't get into drunkenness. Truly, truly let the love and faith in Jesus live out in my life. And Revelation 3:8, I know your works. I see that you have set before you an open door and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength. Have kept my word, have not denied my name. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which is going to come upon the whole world and test those who dwell on the earth. That, to me, that's revelation. That's a promise to God that the faithful church in the last days, the faithful church that does not deny his name, keeps his commandments, is going to be rescued in the rapture of the church. How many signed up for that? And if not, any hand that's down, it's like, whoa. What part of judgment is so appealing? But who knows? Maybe it's our last week. We don't know. Be watchful. We don't know. We can't neglect so great a salvation. Amen? Jesus coming. Let's be all on the... I want this place empty the day after the rapture. Nobody's here going, man, I wish I would have believed. Okay? Let's stand and pray. Father, we do rejoice. We thank you. God, I pray that you'd help all of your saints here today and all those that be listening in the future, that God, we'd take to heart the importance of shielding our ears, our eyes from the false teachings of the lusts and the pleasures of this world that are coming at us from every venue. Lord, that we would keep our minds shielded by the power of your word and the power of your Holy Spirit in our life as the Holy Spirit brings to remembrance the things that you say. God, as we see so many people deceived by Satan into falling into the things and traps of the world, that we would grieve for them, Lord, and because their doom is predicted by your word, and they would have compassion upon them to try and rescue them from the fire by sharing with them your love and your willingness to rescue them, that they can get on the Jesus boat and be safe too. Help us, Lord, to serve you until you come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a Lamb would rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit, we long to embrace. You offer hope when Almighty infinite Father, faithfully loving your own, here in our weakness you find us, falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore.
True for all the true saints, our hearts do hunger, don't they? Because we're a child of God and we don't get to sit in his lap in sight. We have to do it by faith, but that's what we do until he comes to take us home to be with him. Amen. God bless you. Keep you in his care until we can fellowship again.